Investors take a fall on their Fannie and Freddie stock.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From American Public Media in Los Angeles, I'm Bob Moon in for Scott Jagow. So far this month, shares of Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac have plunged more than 60%. Just yesterday, speculation that government intervention could end up taking the value of those stocks all the way to zero sent the shares down 20%. That in spite of Fannie CEO Daniel Mudd's attempt to reassure investors during an appearance on Public Radio's Diane Rehm Show. The government, he insisted, doesn't need to intervene.
They haven't offered anything, and we haven't asked for anything. I don't anticipate that we will do that.
But clearly, a lot of investors still anticipate otherwise. Usually, Wall Street hates uncertainty like that, but the overall market managed to rise above those fears. The Dow advanced 68 points, not quite 0.2%. The S&P 500 recorded the same percentage gain, while the NASDAQ notched up just shy of 0.25%. European traders, on the other hand, are back to being nervous. The Paris CAC 40 is the biggest loser at this hour, down 1.2%. Tokyo's Nikkei fell 0.8% to its lowest close in nearly 5 months. An environmental group is offering up an economic incentive for protecting the sea. A new survey from Oceana looks at what a creature-filled ocean is worth to scuba divers. Placing a dollar value on natural resources is a new and controversial concept. Marketplace's Janet Babin reports from the Innovations Desk at North Carolina Public Radio.
Shrinking shark and sea turtle populations might be easy for us land dwellers to ignore, but scuba divers see the ocean's decline on every descent. So Oceana thought divers would be willing to pay to protect ocean wildlife. Suzanne Garrett with Oceana says 76% of divers it surveyed said yes.
They're willing to pay to see healthy corals. They're also willing to pay for sea turtles and for sharks.
She says collectively they'd pay an extra $212 million. The shark fishing industry is worth $19 million, so Oceana says clearly sharks are worth more alive. But that kind of math worries economist Frank Ackerman with Tufts University.
I would object to any assumption that the value of nature is in total what you can dream up in these kind of studies.
Because we could lose our natural resources to the highest bidder. I'm Janet Babin for Marketplace.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by Thrivent Financial for Lutherans, a not-for-profit financial service provider helping nearly 3 million members and their communities thrive. More at thrivent.com.
Members of Congress are not allowed to use money in their campaign accounts to cover personal expenses, but Senator David Vitter of Louisiana recently asked the Federal Election Commission if he could use his campaign account to pay legal expenses related to a prostitution case. Without getting too personal, is that a personal expense? Marketplace's Steve Henn takes a look.
For years, politicians have grown accustomed to using campaign accounts as personal legal defense funds. Former congressman turned convict Randy Duke Cunningham used his to pay legal bills in a bribery trial. Larry Craig used his to defend himself in the wake of his arrest in a Minneapolis airport.
Well, that seems, in fact, quite personal.
Melanie Sloan founded the watchdog group Citizens for Responsibility and Ethics in Washington.
The FEC has been slowly over past years expanding the circumstances under which a member of Congress can use campaign funds for legal counsel.
But apparently there are limits. Attorneys at the FEC just recommended Senator David Vitter not be allowed to use campaign cash to pay more than $100,000 in legal bills he incurred while attempting to avoid testifying as a witness in a prostitution trial. In Washington, I'm Steve Henn for Marketplace.
Rebounding oil prices are rekindling worries about inflation. The price of crude is back above $116 a barrel. And still, our economics editor Chris Farrell is holding out hope that the cost of living will remain in check. What he's most worried about now is whether the floor is dropping out from under American wage earners. Good morning, Chris.
Hi, how are you doing?
Good, thanks. So I had to get you back here to follow up on something we chatted about a month ago. Let me remind you that you said you weren't so sure we needed to worry a lot about inflation. Well, this week we've got wholesale inflation jumping at the fastest pace in 27 years. So what do you say, Chris? Are you having nasty flashbacks to the 80s, or do you stand by that earlier assessment?
Oh, I stand by that earlier assessment. Now, it's a scary number, but we live in a service sector economy. Guess what service sector inflation has been running?
It's going to be smaller, I'm sure.
It's going to be very small. 0.4%. It's down from a year ago was running 1.5%. So what you're really seeing is the impact of higher energy and food prices. I mean, what we've been talking about a lot, but if you look at the two things that really matter, service sector inflation, it's down. And by the way, wages, they're also down.
Okay, look, after we spoke a month ago, we got some pretty strong reactions posted on our website. Let me
yes,
read you
we
just a little bit of a few of them here. If you take out food and energy costs, you still have 2.4% inflation. Meanwhile, the average pay increase is 3.4%, and most people still like the occasional bite to eat and a warm place to sleep between shifts. I think I read that as sarcasm, Chris.
I think it is. And this is one of those things where you take the headline inflation, consumer price inflation, and you take out food and energy. And if you're an American, what else is there?
What I think I heard you saying just a moment ago, though, is that maybe the emphasis shouldn't be on inflation so much, but on wages.
It should be on wages. That same report. Why aren't people worrying about the decline in wages? That is the biggest decline since 1990. So what's happening to people is that they have less money at the end of the month. They're paying more for fuel. They're paying more for food. They're not getting wage increases. Their health care costs are going up. That's not inflation. That just means their budgets are shrinking.
Aren't you goring your own ox here, though, by suggesting that wages should go up? That's just going to promote inflation, right?
Well, what I'm hoping is that I'm right on inflation, because if I am right on inflation, and we get continued decline in some commodity prices, a little bit of relief there, then hopefully wages adjusted for inflation start to grow again. And all these cries that the Fed has been weak and weak-kneed in the face of inflation and hasn't taken the tough action, that's wrong. It is really wrong.
Our economics editor, Chris Farrell, arguing for the best of all worlds here. Thank you, Chris.
I try.
I'm Bob Moon in Los Angeles. We invite your thoughts at marketplace.org. Just click on the contact link. Glad to have you with us this morning.
American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.